This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this morning, talking with State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of things going on, getting ready for the short session of the Oregon State Legislature. We'll get to that in a moment. I wanted to back up to Friday night, first of all. You and some of the other lawmakers had a special event at Melrose Vineyards. Talk about that.
Yeah, thanks. It was an amazing event. It was a private event, but it was open to the public by RSVP, and it was just amazing. We all had a chance to speak, and people had a chance to get familiar with us. And you know, it really wasn't a forum or questions and answers. It was more informal. We all spoke for a few minutes, and then we just kind of mingled. We also had other candidates that will be running for their positions, incumbents that are running for their positions coming up, like our district attorney and our sheriff was going to try to make it, but he couldn't, so we read a statement for him. And also Dan Loomis, our clerk.
So a bit of an unusual event, but it kind of does kick off the fact that here we go into the election cycle.
Yeah, and the overwhelming message that we were trying to get across was unity all the way through our ranks. It was party unity for the public. We want to do what's best for rural Oregon, and I think we're all on the same page. From the county commissioners to your legislators, we're all on the same page. We all understand what's facing us in the future, and we're all trying to pull together to make things better for rural Oregon.
So as we get ready for that short session, as you get ready to go back to Salem for that, one of the things we've talked with you and a lot of the other members of the delegation have been, is the Measure 110 question. And I'm curious, as we get closer, if you see any pathway for how that might be addressed in this short session.
Yeah, Kyle, I have not seen much progress on that yet. We have bills. David Brock Smith, our senator, actually introduced a bill that changed Measure 110, repealed some of the stuff that's on it. Right now, the majority party is really holding it close to their vest on what their plan is, but we're still kind of in this pattern where they want to do the smallest amount they can do and say, look what we did, and the Republican Party's saying, no, we want to get rid of this bad bill and start over. We want to do this right. We want to take care of our drug issues that we have here and try to make some progress back in the right direction, give our police their power again to actually stop and arrest.
And given the short time frame, though, it seems like it's going to be easy to get bogged down in other things and not really maybe even get to this.
Oh, I think they have to address it. It's going to become an issue, and it will before the end of short session. I mean, short session is, I believe, 35 days long, so it will have time, and it's on the front of everybody's menu. Everybody knows what's that has to be addressed. If it doesn't get addressed, there's a potential that there could be another ballot put on the ballot, and if another measure could just take the entire thing away. And I think the appetite of the citizens of Oregon right now is that they don't like what happened with Measure 110. So if there was another measure put on the ballot that just made it go away, chances are pretty good it would pass, and that has consequences as well. Really, the fix and repeal part would be the best idea.
Now, what's the turnaround time if somebody put a measure out? Could that possibly make not the spring ballot, but at least the November ballot?
Yeah, I would make the November ballot. They would have to have the signatures, and I can't remember the number, but it's around 300,000, I think, to get something on the ballot. And I don't think it would be an issue. I mean, 60 plus percent of the people in Oregon by polling want Measure 110 taken away.
So that is the potential there to see something happen. And even if a lot of folks don't think enough has happened, how real do you think the potential ballot measure is?
Well, I mean, it's out there. It's been something that we've talked about for a while. It's very real. I think the short session will answer a lot of questions, and if real change happens during short session, the ballot probably won't happen, or the measure probably won't happen. But it just really remains to be seen. But we'll know next month. Short session starts in February.
Not that far off. And one of the things I understand it's going to happen as a part of that is in the House as a change of speaker. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, so our speaker, Dan Rayfield, actually, he's been a good speaker. He is running for attorney general for the state. So he has to kind of resign his spot as speaker to concentrate on his race. And as of, I believe, yesterday, the press release, Julie Fahey was chosen by the majority party as their pick for the speaker. So we will have a chance to vote on that during short session. But again, I'm in the minority party, so the you know it's pretty much foregone conclusion who's gonna win. But then the next most important job is they also have to pick somebody to take her spot. She was the majority party leader, so now they have to select a new majority party leader. And I've heard a few names come up on that, but I haven't heard anything official on it yet.
So while the Democrats have kind of got their idea moving forward, then it isn't formal until it's actually voted on in the short session.
Yes, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that will be the last thing we do at the end of short session on our agenda, and then the person will take over after that.
And obviously, there's always a potential there. You get a different person and a speaker. And Rayfield obviously has not been in that long, but clearly wants to seek the other role. So yet another shift in the legislature.
Yeah, I think you're going to see several shifts in the legislature. Some of the House members are running for Senate spots. There's going to be 2024 is going to be a big change again, and I'm happy to say I'm no longer the freshman. So we'll see who all comes into the House and what changes happen in the Senate, especially with the Senate walkout senators that doesn't look like they're going to get their positions back as of today.
One of the things I ran across in the last couple of days was something regarding new wildfire rules that would have implications for a lot of Oregon property owners. What can you tell us about that?
So there's a lot of information out there, and you're right. I just sat through a work session on it yesterday with the legislatures in the state. So what they're basically doing is there was Senate Bill 762, it was a roadmap and that kind of defined what wildfire risk was in the urban interface and rural settings. So the real issue with this is, at least my issue with it, is that the state created this wildfire map, and this wildfire map creates a roadmap for insurance companies to say, well, you're in the wildfire mapping area, so now we're going to raise the price of your insurance in your homes, potentially damaging the ability for people to even get insurance. Myself and Senator Brock Smith have had a lot of discussion on this issue as well, and I understand the intention of the state, but the unintended consequences could be very bad on this. The biggest problem is 80% of the wildfires in the state are on federal lands. They come, you know, they come from, you know, Forest Service and BLM. That's the lightning strikes or whatever starts them. And because that happens, the other 20%, 15% of the other 20% are caused because the fires burn from federal land onto private timberland. So what happens with the Senate Bill 762 is it forces new homeowners, new builders, to change the way the houses are built, harden the structures, change the environment around the house, clear it out. Doesn't affect existing homes, but it's probably going to raise the price of a new home $100,000, to build one at least $100,000, depending on the size. So there's implications here. It could hurt not only property owners, but the real estate values. It's going to be interesting to see where that plays out.
So does this really just have implications for those in rural areas, people that have a lot of acreages, or could this impact somebody smack dab in the middle of Hillcrest?
Well, it actually could affect, there are different levels of the state looks at that and decides, where you're at on the map and what your level is. So technically, it probably won't affect somebody in Hillcrest, but it could to a degree. And it really is going to hurt those folks that live right on the edge of national forests and or live right on the edge of an area where there is a forested area. It's going to be, it's just more state overreach and control. And frankly, I think if I lived in a place where that was wildfire prone, I would take care of my house and do it on my own. I don't need the state to tell me how to do it.
And do you, is this already set in stone that it will take effect, or is this still in the process?
So 762 was passed in 2021. That was before I was in the legislature. So yes, as far as I know, the procedures are in the process. I think 762 was put that in process, but I don't know that it's completely figured out yet. I think they are still going to have more public input on it, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know when it actually goes into full effect.
All right, a lot going on, and again, the short session starts very soon. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, before then. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Have a good day.
8:41 at the Morning Report.